This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra... You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at NorthtownAuto.com.
Should I just change my name to Josh?
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's the wrong one. It's just getting kind of funny at this point. I feel like I should just change my name to Josh.
What do you want me to do? I pressed the wrong one.
Identity theft is not a joke, Jim. This is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach usually intros it in, but I felt like I had enough energy to kind of take it for a moment there.
I don't hate the idea of changing your name to Josh. Less letters.
Yes.
No. Stop.
Less
There's
syllables.
Already too many of us.
Less time consuming than to write your name.
There are too many
Josh
of us.
Josh is a very popular name in Buffalo right
it's
now.
It's a very popular name in
you
Buffalo
can't
right
have
now.
It. You didn't have it before it was cool.
This is Zach Jones over there. I'm Derek Josh Kramer. And
there we go.
Josh Schmidt running the board for us here. So
Zach also a very popular name around the, well, not around this time, but when I was born.
Yes.
Way too many. There's also way too many spellings.
Yes.
Most are incorrect.
CH is the right way.
You want to talk about
CH
spellings.
Is the right way.
You want to talk about spellings. That's another bonus to having a Josh name. There's only really one way to spell Josh.
There is. I've seen others with
there
no H.
There are too many ways to spell Derek, and they're mostly incorrect.
Really?
I've seen a Josh
with no H. Oh, my
God.
Why?
Ready?
I don't know.
I can go up to my program director, have him type me up an email, and there is a non-0% chance that it is spelled wrong. Love you, Alan. Mm.
Yeah. I mean, I've always...
The amount of times that superiors,
yeah,
especially superiors that do not know me,
yeah,
have misspelled my name because it's spelled like there's like four or five different variations.
Oh.
There's like D-A-R-I-K. And I'm like, get out.
That one's not... No, that's not that bad.
Get all the way out.
I like that one.
That's nope. Derek.
I kind of like it.
The double R is the one that gets me the most.
The double R, yeah, I can understand that one.
To anyone that's got the D-E-R-R-I-C-K, I feel sorry for you.
Mm.
It's not your fault that was chosen to go the way that it was, but I feel bad for you, son.
Yeah,
tough. There's a new Derek on the Bills, the safety from Washington.
That's another one.
Yep.
I'm sorry, new Bills safety, Derek Forrest.
I'm sorry.
It's not your fault that you chose that.
No, there's a surprising number of ways to spell Derek.
Do you know how he spells it?
Yes.
D-A-R-R-I-C-K.
Yeah.
It's the R.
That one I think is okay. I think that's acceptable.
I like that
that's
one.
That's Derek.
No.
No.
Yes.
See, with yours though, like you could say it differently just by how it's spelled. Mine, it'll always come out Zach. Some of them look wrong. Z-A-K legitimately looks wrong.
Yeah.
That looks wrong.
I will agree with you 1,000% there.
To any Z-A-Ks out there, I don't feel that bad. I'm sorry.
It's not. They didn't choose that, though. Their parents did.
They didn't. I would confront your parents.
I would
ask questions.
I'd imagine it's not cheap to get it changed on legal documentation, though.
No, but like it's also like changing your name. You're like, what do you want to do? I just want to change the spelling.
Really?
You sure? Yeah. I need to change the spelling.
You don't want to change the name at all? And then I would go, actually, Josh sounds pretty good.
Josh sounds great.
Nobody can take my name. I had it before it was cool.
I love that response.
And there's also too many of us. Too many of us here. Anytime anyone's talking about Josh Allen and they say, Josh,
you do have the reaction.
Because I think they're talking to me. And that's not a bad thing. But, like, you know, it gets me a little bit, you know?
Yeah,
I'm doing other stuff, and then I hear my name, and it's like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair.
Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. You did hear the music. It is, of course, a Friday. Doesn't feel like a Friday. I'm just going to flat out put that out there now. It feels like a
in
Thursday.
In a good way or a bad way?
In a bad way. It feels like a Thursday. I don't totally love that.
No, because ready? Because now that's good.
I mean, yeah.
You're going to get out of here and go, I don't work tomorrow.
Right. Sabres won last night. They're going to play both Saturday and Sunday this week. 7-3 win yesterday. Derek, I saw it when it was 2-0, and I was like, oh, good for the Sabres. Cool. I was watching college basketball. The season for me, for the Sabres, is all but done.
Sabres?
I get money, a chasm in the playoff percentages at like 0.1. I don't care.
We're back on the chart, baby.
I like go back to my phone after I hadn't checked it for a little while. It's 6-1. I'm like, oh!
Yep.
Good for you guys.
So
Good for you.
I was out with a friend yesterday. We're trying to put together our roster for our 11-day power play shift. And a couple of basketball games are going on. The Sabres game is going on. And at any point during the conversation, we would just look up and go, oh, all right, the Sabres did it again.
They scored again.
And Reimer made plenty of good saves. There was a lot to that game to enjoy.
How many games, by the way, has Reimer started in a row now?
And I'm starting to think, like, this is a bigger conversation because Owen Parker had said something yesterday about it.
Yes.
Like, why are we starting Reimer so much? And the only rationalization I can think of is Lindy is quietly telling Kevin Adams, goaltender position is not good enough right now. And we're riding the hot hand.
We're just going to ride the hot hand.
UPL is not playing up to his contract already.
Which, every time they've kind of pushed Lugan into the fire, he has done. Every time Levi's come up, that's when he's played his best.
Exactly.
Or when Levi's threatening him a little bit, it seems like that's when he's played
when
his best.
When the long-term future is threatening him, that's like Levi's greatest contribution this year has not been himself on the ice. He's also been bad in a Saber uniform this year.
Mm-hmm.
But his greatest contribution then becomes UPL plays like his hair is on fire. And that's every time Levi gets called up.
Mm-hmm.
However, after the Four Nations tournament, he has been bad.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, bad. To a point now where Lindy Ruff is turning to James Reimer as his starting goaltender. Goaltenders are fickle. They really are a weird thing to try to predict the proper future for in the National Hockey League. Unless you get someone like an Ilya Sorokin or an Igor Shesterkin, a young goalie who has proven right away that he should be the guy in net, you're always going to have these troubles, especially when your stable of goaltending is two young goaltenders.
Yeah.
It's not good enough for a long-term NHL roster, and you kind of are surprised now that they're back to giving up a bunch of goals when 2 years ago they were also giving up a bunch of goals.
It feels like it is this constant problem. We can talk about how the roster needs to learn to win games.
The defense does need to be better, yes, and I do think they need.
But this feels like a problem of like the last 5 years of like they can't find goaltending for a year,
and that's
just for a year.
And that is, Kevin Adams has displayed some strengths at this point, but this is largely a portion why you struggle so consistently is because the answer in net is not consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, you're going to match the product of what you have in net because having some sort of stability, not needing a great goaltender, you need at least a good tandem. You have to have some form of stability in order to succeed, and they do not have any of that. And Lukanen has been, throughout his career, as inconsistent as his first season. When he comes up here, he's collecting wins, but he's not doing it in the cleanest way possible.
No.
The goals against was very spotty. It is becoming like, and Lukanen is a great personality, I think, for that locker room. He's a very genuine person. A lot of fans do seem to like him. UPL is, if you like him, you love him.
Yeah.
And if you hate him, you hate him. I'm starting to wonder, though, if his long-term viability is already going to be called into question because he just is now riding the pine with James Reimer getting all these consecutive starts. So who knows? Maybe the coaching staff is saying, we know UPL is not good enough. We need a veteran presence in here that can start a good amount of games next year.
And that's the part, too. We're back to what we were a few years ago with Craig Anderson, where it's like, he's 37. Like how long is this actually going to go for? Can we maybe get some games out of him next year? Sure. But we're not doing the three goaltender thing again, because how long is Levi going to have to stay in Rochester? He's been incredible this year for them. But to your point, every time he seems to come up to Buffalo,
Craig, by the way,
it's not good.
Craig Anderson was 37 when he was in Ottawa.
When they made their playoff run?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He's 43 now.
Oof.
Which tells you that 2 years ago, the man was 41.
Yeah, when they kind of were trying to ride him for a little while.
Yeah. He was not 37 when he was in Buffalo.
No.
That tells you just how bad they have been at adding veteran goaltenders. Eric Comrie, which I don't know how much of that is necessarily Kevin Adams' fault. He took a guy that was statistically very good in limited starts.
Mm-hmm.
Analytically, it makes sense to make that signing, and then he comes here and he's not good. Goes back to Winnipeg, he's okay again.
Yeah, you found out pretty quick. His role was, okay, as a backup, great.
As a backup, you're very solid, but you are not the guy that can elevate his, to another standing. And then Buffalo goes and plays Winnipeg, and they promptly beat the Jets because of Eric Comrie. Like, he was bad in that game. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure the Sabres, after two periods, had like 8 shots. They were leading.
To play a little devil's advocate here, in terms of adding veteran goalies, how has the veteran goalie market been in the past 5 years?
And that's
terrible.
That's a big thing, too.
And that's the thing is, you might have to do it through a trade. That's the problem, is that it's like the free agency market, as Josh said and correctly points out, it is a barren wasteland.
And then on trades, too, and let's just trade deadlines. We just passed that, so maybe people would argue for that. Paul, I know, said it for years. When has that worked? Adding a goalie in the middle of a season on a trade.
Robin Lehner.
Lehner?
No, I was saying that was the last time they did it, and it
last time
blew up
added,
in their face.
Well, also, that was a draft day trade, though.
True. That wasn't a deadline.
Yeah. Like, just to make the point further about what Paul says, is that it doesn't frequently happen, and if it does happen that a goalie gets traded mid-season, you are not familiar with tactics that a team employs on a day-in and day-out basis. Because every team is different in how they want to employ their tactics, their strategies on the ice. Concepts are the same. The core of it, at the very least, is hockey. You do have guys that need to make sure that they're the net front presence. You need the center to come in and cover the slot. Or another forward, whoever is back-checking the furthest in. But you do need some sort of thing there. Maybe the coaching is different. And that's how goalies get thrown.
I imagine that might happen going into this offseason.
But now I'm looking at this goaltending, I'm looking at this coaching staff as a whole now, and I'm thinking to myself, how is it that you managed to lose a couple of the developmental coaches that you had under Granato? And then the season where Granato leaves, the assistants are all still there. It still baffles me that Lindy Ruff did not get to pick his own staff. And I think we're starting to call into question just how deep does it go at this point? And we don't know. That said, Sabres' most toxic trait this year, not this year, in years past.
Years past, yeah.
With this core, their most toxic trait is starting to look cool in March.
Yeah, when you're well out of the playoffs.
Two seasons ago, they were in the playoff race.
Mm-hmm.
They were still looking cool.
Well, that was what was fun about it, is that they were alive.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. It was fun. And
it was fun.
I mean, look, did they have a low percentage and then really got hot? Yeah. I don't think this year's
but
the same.
It's what they do early in the season
mm-hmm.
that has broken them. It's not about makes or breaks them. It is what breaks them.
Yeah.
All you need to do at this point is just go, hey, find yourself a veteran goaltender and try to at least pair them with one of these young goalies now. As a matter of fact, you could try to sell someone on Luukkonen being a young piece for you. I need a vet goaltender back. Give me something nice back in return because I'm giving you youth. And it's not like I'm trading for a stalwart.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I upset a lot of people just now if they heard me. The UPL stands. I know you. I see you. I get it. But at the same time, it might be time to start having an uncomfortable conversation about him.
It may be an uncomfortable conversation. I think for a lot of people, though, it'll be, I don't want to say vindication, but more this feeling of, yeah, this is sort of what we all thought he was. This is what years had proven to us last year, second half of last year was sort of an anomaly.
But also, because they are starting off so young in their careers, both Luukkonen and Levi,
yeah.
they are going to look shaky. Mm-hmm. Because it's not very common that you get a young goaltender to start right away.
That's the most frustrating thing about Levi, though, up to this point. We just mentioned that 2 years ago when they made that run.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best Levi's looked as a Sabre, is those early games.
Hell, look at Yaroslav Askarov.
Mm-hmm.
Highly touted goaltender prospect with the Nashville Predators. He's in San Jose, and he's not even playing in San Jose because he wanted to get on the ice, and people are like, Nashville said, no, we've got Yusei Saros. Even in a down year, we're going to stick with him. He gets traded off to San Jose. He's not playing full-time with the Sharks. He hasn't been playing full-time with the Sharks this year.
Yeah.
A team that is tanking.
A team that is, again, they're tanking again.
So what do you, like, young goaltenders are fickle.
Mm-hmm.
So say UPL goes off to another team. Would it be entirely out of the question that he figures it out by 27?
Well, no. I mean, if we're banking on the Sabres and getting rid of players, I mean, you know, the betting line is probably going to be minus money. That he's going to figure it out.
27 would be next year, by the way. But like, would it be weird at all if, say, he gets to his 30s with a middling career,
mm-hmm.
and then it turns on?
Yeah,
wouldn't be weird at all.
And that's, I would say it's expected.
And
again,
as a matter
based
of fact,
off Sabres, like the last few years, it's expected.
I would then powerbomb that narrative that you're hinting at there. And say, mm-hmm. goaltenders are weird.
But that's the problem. Is like a normal goalie, you'd be like, oh, all right, damn.
Do you know a friend that plays goaltender? Is he weird?
Josh just staring at us. Doesn't even realize
no. I'm staring at Josh. That's on purpose.
Star of the 11 day. Look at Ethan throws his hands up.
Hey, no, settle down here. Not a star or anything.
If Owen was here, I'd be staring at him too.
Yeah. Probably, yeah.
It's an endearing and good weird.
Oh, I know. We're
someone
all
who used to
strange.
Work in this building, Frank Arcuri. Super mm-hmm. weird guy. Love him. One of my best friends.
There's that position, though, in every sport that's a little unhinged.
You have to be.
Pitchers in baseball.
You are willingly choosing to have vulcanized rubber shot at you at high velocities. Yeah, there's padding. There's less padding than there used to be. I'll tell you that right now.
Love of the game, baby.
You want to get weird?
Pads are shrinking.
If you want to get real weird, whenever I put on all my gear when I'm going to play, I have to put it on in the same exact way every single time, and if I mess up the order, I start over.
I love that for you.
Ready?
I love that for you.
Requisite amount of weird. So talking about goalies, in summary here, is that it's weird. And it frustrates me, and yet at the same time, I don't totally get it, but I kind of get it.
Mm-hmm.
As to why they haven't figured it out. Also, you mentioned Robin Lehner. Outside of shootouts, he wasn't that bad. The biggest crime about Robin Lehner was that he came here at the price of a first-round pick when that was not the going rate for goaltenders.
And in the same offseason, there was also a line of free agency goalies that were about to just
Cam
like...
Cam Talbot got traded for a second-round pick in the same offseason.
Right.
So, again, his biggest crime was what he got traded for.
A month before, you could have just signed him for free.
Yes. That was just your general manager did not know the concept of value ever.
I mean, if we're being honest, like looking at his seasons in Buffalo, we would take that now in a heartbeat.
Exactly.
Like a heartbeat.
That's what I'm saying. Everyone disses on Robin Lehner. However, if Robin Lehner and that version, the Buffalo Sabres version of Robin Lehner, showed up in Buffalo,
yeah,
it's a vast improvement on what they've had.
That's
tough.
Like a massive improvement.
As a matter of fact, if you exclude Lehner, the Buffalo Sabres have not figured out a goaltender since Ryan Miller.
Oh, yeah. He's the last guy that like defeated.
Lehner was
like,
a small respite, but then that got blown up because he could not defend a shootout to save his life.
Mm-hmm.
And they were losing points and standings, which would help out with the drought, because the man couldn't settle in on the one-on-one competition.
Skills competition is not the same as soccer penalties. It's not the same. It is a skills competition. I am with a lot of people. I hate it. I hate the shootout.
At this point, it's old.
Yeah.
At this point. I don't want to say go back to ties, but at the same time, if you haven't scored a goal in 3-on-3 overtime at that point, neither of you deserve it.
Yeah, let's move on.
Neither of you deserve the point. Let's move on.
Just ultimately, though, this conversation, we're going to get to your calls here in a second. 803-0550, the number to call if you want to jump in on the Sabres goalie conversation. It feels like it all points back to the same main character of this conversation every year, or the last few years, mm-hmm. Levi. It feels like Levi eventually has to take the reins, and then if Levi can, and you have a 37, 38-year-old James Reimer as your backup, that's a really good situation.
And that's why I say to the UPL stands out there, it's time to have a tough conversation about UPL as a Sabre.
You wonder, though, how much you...
Because if you could trade him...
What you're going to get for trading him.
If you trade him for a veteran goaltender, you'd better hope that you're able to sell youth
mm-hmm.
and get something else in return.
Yeah.
That's my thing. Is that it cannot be like this simple, I'm trading UPL for a veteran goaltender thing. It's going to have to be part of a bigger, complicated, more nuanced trade.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of trade that I've yet to see Kevin Adams pull, which is kind of what I'm excited for.
I'm glad you're excited for it.
Ready? He has done a good job when he pulls the trigger on moves.
Mm-hmm.
It is the lack of the pulling the trigger on moves that is my biggest frustration with him. Or the yeah. when.
Yes.
Recognizing when is the time to do it. 2 years ago was that time, even for the goaltender conversation that we're having right now. 2 years ago was the time to do it. And be it circumstance or just sticking with you guys, it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And now goaltender, 2 years later, we're having the same conversation we did two years ago.
Yeah, it
stinks.
Yeah, the wheel keeps turning.
Yes, and... Based on the screening here, when we go to Mark in Buffalo, I do like the point he's about to bring up.
Yep. Mark, first up today, how are we doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Let me jump in on your goalie conversation. Bear with me. Let's get to Robin Lehner first.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It was really not an overpayment for Robin Lehner. Someone in the organization missed something. Wasn't he bipolar and needed medication and mm-hmm. went to Vegas and won a Vezina trophy? Oh, and then hurt, and now, yeah, he's whatever, he hasn't been around.
Yep.
But so Robin Lehner was the real deal in that aspect. Someone in the organization and the medical staff missed that. He needed mental help or something. And we had the goalie, and they took care of the goalie, took care of both of his hips through operations and waited for him. His name was Linus Allmark.
Yep.
And don't blame Kevin Adams. Kevin Adams offered Linus Allmark the exact same money, a little bit more for a 5 or 6 year deal that the Boston Bruins gave him, and he chose to go to Boston. That's not Kevin Adams' fault.
Yep.
And let's get to Devon Levi. Let's not blame Kevin Adams on him either, okay? Devon Levi came here, what you guys mentioned, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. In the last 10 games he played, he almost made the playoffs. He looked like he was going to be the next coming of Patrick Waugh, Roy, whatever you want to call him. For whatever reason, they banked on him the next year. It didn't happen. Their hands were stuck. And let's get to Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. His hands were tied this year. The guy looked like he finally made that jump and progressed yep. to being the goalie that you think he could be, and he's not. So, guys, I'll hang up and listen. I love the Sabres. I love the Bills. I'm a lifelong Bills. It's just so frustrating because, you know what, 9 points out of the playoffs, you guys mentioned it last night, just have the puck bounce your way 3 times in that 13-game losing streak,
mm-hmm.
and the way they're playing now, they're in. Guys, I'll hang up and listen. You know, you guys are young. You guys got a good to look forward to. You know, let me tell you, there was nothing like the 2 Stanley Cup finals, even though we lost them both. The feeling, you guys, I hope you guys get to feel it, and a win. I got to get to a parade one time before I pass on. My mom and dad's ashes are on the shelf waiting to go to parade, sir. I'm Buffalo all the way. I mean, they're my teams. I love them. I'll hang up, guys.
Mark, thanks for the call, brother.
Mark, thank you. And it ultimately goes back to what I said here, which was I don't fully blame Kevin Adams. I'm frustrated, but also I kind of get it.
Yeah. Leonard, though, did not win a Vezina. He was in the voting.
So, Leonard, though, and Mark helped set the record straight a little bit here. Mm-hmm. The results were there. It was just the value. Was he worth, ultimately, a first-rounder? Yes. Did they need to pay it? Probably not. That was my problem.
Right,
that was, that's always been my problem. My buddy Nick and I will have screaming matches about this until the end of our days. But it is still always, for me, goalies ultimately are weird to nail down. He mentions Ullmark. Absolutely. And the problem with Ullmark is he was around the team for too long. They were not getting anywhere.
Yeah, and when Boston comes
calling. So when a similar contract comes up from one of the better teams in the league, you're going to go there.
Yeah,
a little bit less of money than what Buffalo's offering.
Yeah, we talk about that with other players, forwards, defensemen, what have you. It was that situation with a goaltender who was in your organization but was like, the Boston Bruins
are calling me.
And he had one of the better seasons we've seen in recent memories. They were record-breaking in the right now. Playoff Ullmark aside, we would hope to
playoff
get there
Ullmark happened because he was injured.
Yeah.
And that one was on the coach not pulling him out of the lineup soon enough.
Yeah.
And sticking with him when he was clearly injured in a game 6 against Florida that he would ultimately lose. They go to Swayman, it was too late.
Yeah, but that 22-23 season, the record-breaking season for Boston regular season, he has 40 wins, 6 losses, a .938 save percentage, and a 1.89 goals against.
Look at him now.
Unbelievable.
He gets traded from Boston.
Yeah, goes to Ottawa.
Are we all that surprised that Boston is now tumbling? Linus Ullmark doesn't have the greatest numbers in Ottawa this year, but he is part of the reason that they are succeeding.
Yeah, he's a big reason why they've been able to take that step forward. Again, Ottawa and Buffalo sort of mirror images of each other during this, last 6-7 years of just both trying to figure it out, having young cores, trying to do their best.
And now Boston is 3 points ahead of Buffalo.
Yeah, they've lost 7 in a row. I believe it's 7 in a row now. They're having a tough time. And also looking real quick here, before we take our first time out, Devin Levi, those 7 games that he came up for, I mentioned it's the best he's played in Buffalo, and the stats point to it. 7 games played, a .294 goals against, and a save percentage of .905.
Which is...
And he was 5-2 in those games.
Yeah.
He was very, very good. The next year, under .900, plays 23 games, .310 goals against, and then the 9 games he's played this year, his stats ultimately go to .412 goals against and an .872 save percentage. Rochester, though, a complete opposite story.
And if you want to find a way to like dive into the analytics of things, of goals saved above expected, Devin Levi, when he's been up for these last couple of years, it is in the sewers.
Yeah.
And that still goes back to goalies are weird. Ultimately, goalies are so weird. Are they or are they not?
Look at him
Josh?
Smiling. Look at him smiling in there.
Don't discriminate.
Wait, I'm Josh.
don't discriminate against weird goalies. We're all going to stop the puck
at
the end of the day.
I love all of you, okay? You're all just a little weird, like me.
803-0550, the number to call if you want to jump in on the Sabres goaltender conversation, where they sit right now in the NHL. Jerry, we'll get to you if you hang on here after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show, and this is WGR.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres back in the Pittsburgh zone here as Dahlin will leave it for Rosé and far circle shot scores! Great pass and a finish by Samuelson, and it's 4-1 Buffalo.
Dan Dunleavy there on the call. Matias Samuelson one of the goal scorers last night. I knew something had happened. I mentioned I was not watching the game. I was watching college basketball. Josh texted me, Matias Samuelson, all caps. And I was like, oh, he scored. I know for a fact that's what happened.
No, as a matter of fact, you knew what kind of night it was going to be, because if I talked to a Pittsburgh Penguins fan, all I would have had to say is, oh, first shot, Jari showed up again.
Ooh.
Tristan Jari has a toxic trait of letting in a goal in the first or second shot way too often.
I mean, he's bad. He's bad.
And the Sabres got him last night, immediately score on him with Tage dragging a poor Penguins defender. That one was cool.
Those are arguably maybe my favorite Tage goals. Like,
when,
I like
when
the
he
ones
puts
when
someone on roller skates.
Yeah. I like the ones when he's dangling in front of the net and he like literally gets to like 2 inches from the goalie before sliding it in.
Letang
the one where he drags the stick and then just fires it right in the middle. That's Letang, a lot of fun.
Letang tries to pinch on the boards and he steps up and it immediately backfires because Tage is able to get the puck and then he is all alone at that point. The defenseman has Benson who's driving.
Mm-hmm.
And then because he's not in a position to really defend Tage, Tage then does that drag into the slot, changes the shot angle, and first shot Jari.
So cool. So cool.
And then they just were off to the races from there. Matias Samuelson scores, as you heard in the clip there. That was such a slick pass from Isaac Rosane that, man, that guy deserves more NHL look before the AHL playoffs.
Was that his first NHL point? I think I saw that yesterday.
It was. Okay, cool. Good, great for him.
And it's a sick and slick play to get your first NHL point.
And something that Rosane is an interesting factor here with the Sabres because of the fact that he has not had a lot of and a lot of NHL time, excuse me. But Kulik with two goals, you're starting to see again, hey, those guys that were the organization was loud about.
Yeah.
You can get loud about them again.
Also, real quick, Tyson Kozak on a 3-game point streak. He had 2 last night, a goal and an assist.
And Kozak is a guy who's starting to really argue for...
He should be here next year.
He should be here next year.
7th round pick in 2021, baby. Let's go.
Like, absolutely. Don't sign another guy like a Sam Lafferty next year. Like, we don't need to.
No.
We've got Kozak coming up here.
Yeah, I mean, good for him. 803-0550, the number to call. We did promise we're going to get to your calls here. Let's get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Jerry is up next. Jerry, how are we doing on this fine morning?
Good. You know, the Levi thing was a Hail Mary. No one makes that jump to college to the pros anymore and plays like immediately. You're right about goaltenders. Even like the Marty Berdurs, they weren't significant players in the league till they were like 24, 25 years old. They take much longer to mature. It was a Hail Mary pass. My biggest concern with this team is this. You know, in sports and in general and in life, how do you measure someone's level of compete? And what you have on this team right now are a bunch of people in their early 20s that have a lot of money and really long off seasons. And they struggle on the defensive end. They struggle defending each other when things go wrong. That just makes me think there just isn't a level of compete on this team. They just, how badly do you want to win? And they can say in the presser afterwards, it starts with me, but you know, it doesn't seem to work out that way. You want players that compete at the highest levels all the time and never want to lose. And this team just doesn't have that feel about it.
No, and Jerry, I concur with that. I agree. I've mentioned it a lot that I can't listen to the post-game press conferences. I can't listen to locker cleanout anymore because it's the same thing over and over again with nothing changing. And it really, it does bother me. It really, really does to just kind of hear the same song and dance, maybe some different words thrown in there, but it ultimately feels, it has begun to feel hollow at this point. I will disagree a little bit on the Levi thing. I think, yes, you could argue it was a Hail Mary. I don't think the Sabres would have felt as confident if it weren't for those final 7 games. He came up from Northeastern and did that. I think
that is the weird part.
I think there was a genuine feeling like, oh, he's different.
The problem was you didn't sign a true veteran stopper that could be there in case of failure.
I don't think they planned on doing that until he played like that in those 7 games to end the year. Then it was, okay, he's a different breed.
We might actually play him now.
Yeah.
Or they're probably thinking, oh, we got our Shesterkin.
Yeah.
where it's just we got it.
Highly touted prospect. He shows up here and he's already doing some nice things.
The level of compete, though, too, and this is where it's also going to be, it's become the running joke where, I mean, Derek, you mentioned it too. Like, they're playing really good in March. Of course they are.
I don't know what it is about the pressure of the beginning of the season with this team and why they don't get off to good starts. Because this core, it's the bad starts.
Yeah.
That's what it is. This isn't like, hey, this team wins, and this happened with a different core, where they won 10 games in a row to start the year. They had dynamite starts to seasons before, and then they would ultimately collapse. And then you get the famous quote from Bottrell of meaningful games in March. This core seems to get off to poor starts overall over the first 3 months. And the worst part about it is they almost stuck the landing, because for 2 months they were good. They were second place, or challenging for second place in the Atlantic Division. And then the month of December hit them like a bus. Maybe 13 buses.
We should have a caller in that first segment too, and he mentioned, like, if just
they get anything, three of those games to turn their results, they're in contention. And Lindy said it in front of season ticket holders this week.
Yes.
Of, you don't lose 13 games and come back from that.
No.
And your biggest challenge is telling your guys, no, believe in yourselves. Make sure, like, you got to pick these guys up at this point, because you are losing 10 games in a row now. Now it's to 11. When are we going to win? Because that pressure mounts more and more and more and more. Yes, they get paid millions of dollars. It still doesn't mean that they're robots. You're going to look at this and go, we've lost 11 bleeping games in a row. What gives? Then they lose the Boston game. And it's like, how? We outplayed them. We were like, better
what is
than
happening?
Them.
Yeah.
And we still lost. What is going on? That's where it all comes from. And I do think, ultimately, what Lindy said is correct. And that's where, again, my gripe with Kevin Adams comes in, of knowing when to strike and try to make a move, try to make a difference.
Because
Kevin Adams says, you don't make the playoffs in December. Well, the bad news is you certainly can miss the playoffs in December, because the Buffalo Sabres, over the last 3 years, have done that.
Yeah, that's when they've missed the playoffs. They've dug themselves too big of a hole. We mentioned it a few weeks ago when we were on too, is like, they have a lot of games in hand that they can, quote unquote, catch some of these teams. They still do. A team like Pittsburgh, I think, is still three games up on them. But they're still last.
Both Pittsburgh
in
and
the
Philly.
East.
They've played the second least amount of games in the entire conference, Columbus being the other one, who, if they win their game in hand, they can make a playoff spot.
Yeah, which, great for them. That story is awesome.
But at the same time, to be far away enough that you're 9 points out of a playoff spot, you're 7 points back of Columbus, and your roster should have been ahead of them, and you lose 13 games in a row. That is something, as the coach says, you typically don't come back from that.
No, and I thought the quote you were going to say from Lindy too was him talking about the patience that Adams had, because usually, the 13-game losing streak, the coach is fired.
Yes.
And I saw the quote of him saying that, and I'm like, Lindy, honestly, if it was anybody else, probably they do get fired.
Yeah.
If it weren't for you being Lindy Ruff.
Oh, yeah. Because then that's
you're probably
Sabres
right. Yeah. And I don't mean that maliciously. I don't mean that, like, negatively towards Ruff, but, like,
to be fired within a year?
Not even. What would that have been? 3 months into his new tenure with the Sabres?
Yeah, and that but it would have looked like, one, more knee-jerk reaction.
Yep.
From an organization that never has any stability to it, and people would be looking at that going, Terry, you're making too much moves again.
Yeah, you're doing too much.
You're doing too much again. And then other people would look at it and go, you blatantly disrespected one of your legends because of, it's a ghastly losing streak. But at the same time, we have seen teams fire coaches for less nowadays.
Teams that are in playoff spots, but they're not as good.
I will say,
goodness.
Hey, Boston, how does that take?
Boston,
because
yeah.
Boston fired their coach into the, like, I think it was like a month into the season.
Mm-hmm.
And then ultimately it's proven, no, Don Sweeney's just bad at building rosters and has been carried by Marchand, Pasternak, And then Linus Olmark, apparently.
The goaltending tandem, yeah.
So maybe he is the problem. And with Buffalo, it is the same thing of you got to find out what the problem is and figure it out. Goaltenders, Jerry laments it too there. Goaltenders, they're tough to figure out. They really are.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that I'm going to forgive a general manager. You ultimately have a job to do. At the same time, man, it is never an easy hand. You're winning poker games with like 8 high when it comes to goaltender sometimes. Mm-hmm.
It's total bluff.
Yeah.
It's a total bluff. You're staring death in the face going, I really hope he doesn't see me sweat.
I feel good right now. Oh, yeah? You folded? I had an 8.
It's just – it is also –
How sorry of a hand would that be, by the way, that like an 8 would win?
I mean, that's where I've watched a lot of Westerns the last few days. Like, that's the kind of hand that gets you shot.
Yeah.
That's the hand that in the movie they call you a cheat and they shoot you.
They just lean back like I'm literally doing the chair. Just
that's exactly that hand that gets you get called a cheat and you're put down. There's no other way around it. I did want to make this point about Levi here real quick before we take our next time out. Kind of about like his stats as well. He is maybe my favorite prospect the Sabres have right now because I think he's so interesting. You look at his AHL numbers both
They're
this year.
Otherworldly.
And I've heard some people bring up, like, is he just going to be a great AHL player? He would be the best goaltender in the league year in and year out if this is what he is. And if he somehow can't crack the NHL and just be solid, good, man, that is some bad luck. I can't even totally say that's on you. Like, that is some bad luck. He was historically good in college. He's unbelievable in the AHL. Like, that's where I still have confidence somewhat in this organization. Because if you just get a good goaltender for a year, you make the playoffs. Yes. The Sabres just haven't been able to find that in a year stretch. If he somehow can't give you that, I'd be stunned.
Yeah, and I do think that the patience is the right way to play this now. They have looked back on this and said, maybe this should have been the goal from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Yes! Sometimes you want the lesson to be learned right away of, yeah, I can't promise you that you're going to start right away, Devin Levi. You're going to the AHL.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It you typically want the lesson to be learned that way. But if it works, well, hey, I'll take a wrong methods to getting the right result.
Yeah, as long as I get to the right result. 803-0550, the number to call. John, we'll get to you after a quick timeout. If you hang on the line, Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR. Hour number one rolls along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer hanging out with you. Do want to mention this before we get to our next caller. Coverage of the NCAA Championship Tournament on WGR and the Bet 1520 is brought to you by Window Nation. For your window needs, visit windownation.com. Yesterday's games were over on the Bet 1520. Tonight, starting at 7, they're going to be over here on WGR. And
I'm nervous.
Man, I hope we actually have some good games. Ole Miss versus Michigan State, Kentucky and Tennessee, Michigan, Auburn, and then the game Derek is very nervous about. One, I also have a rooting interest in Purdue and Houston. Purdue, they 4 seed.
Oh, you're also boiling up with me?
I am not. I have some
Judas.
I have some connections to Houston.
Dead to me.
Judas.
So good.
Judas. So
you're dead to me.
So my favorite thing you have is a Purdue hockey jersey.
It's drip personified.
I love it so much. I have no Houston apparel. My dad went there for a year in college, and that is what kept me. But now anytime Houston basketball plays a game, some point in the day, I'll just – whose house? Cook's house. Are you happy? Then I have to hit
he
the
He says
horns.
While wearing a Texas hat.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Judas.
And then I have to hit the hook 'em horns, but I'm like, all right, I'm under your roof. I get it. Okay, I'll play along. But I have to root for them. I love the program they built.
I don't have another college I cheer
for. I know. I'm sorry.
And that's tragic because Purdue has more tournament wins this year than football wins.
It's awesome.
For the record, Purdue has won 2 basketball games in the tournament. For those at home keeping score. There is no bandwagoning a Purdue Boilermaker. I'm just going to let you know right now.
Oh, no.
We have our Lord and Savior Drew Breeses, and that's it.
That's it. That's all it is.
Everything else is death.
They had one good game against Ohio State like 2 years ago.
Last year they make the championship. I'm like, you almost had it. But what did they do before that?
Fairleigh Dickinson
ostensibly pooped their pants.
Yeah, Fairleigh Dickinson happened. Which, like, is the bigger upset of the two. UMBC over Virginia, Fairleigh Dickinson over Purdue. That's objectively the bigger upset. Virginia lost their best player before the tournament, DeAndre Hunter.
Yes.
That's why they... did they lose by a bigger margin? I believe so. But Fairleigh Dickinson didn't even win their conference tournament. It was the rules based off, I think, Merrimack coming up from D2. They physically couldn't go to the tournament, so the runner-up got in. And then they upset Purdue.
Yeah.
There's no, it's tough, there's no bandwagoning enjoying Purdue, but I still try to do it. That game starts at 10 or is projected to start at 10.
You know what's the hardest thing to do in college football 25? Build up the Purdue program. They're the worst in the Big Ten.
It's with Northwestern in there, too. They don't even have a stadium. They don't even – which, that's fun in that game, by the way. Hawaii also has a very small stadium, but they have, like, one that they're going to quote-unquote build. I guess construction in Hawaii takes forever. Like, it's all slow. But so the game gives you the rendering of this stadium that they project is going to be a thing. Northwestern also has a stadium that they're going to build. They just aren't there right now. And the game is like, no. You get your, like, 15,000-person stadium.
Yep.
Ha. In your cold
with
weather.
With a track around the...
bunch of nerds.
Yep.
I'm like, that's mean, guys. Like, come on. Give them their nice stadium.
I mean, Northwestern, to their credit, though, is in the Big Ten.
So definitely give them their nice stadium. Hawaii's in the Mountain West, not even good. Yeah. Why do they get their nice stadium that's not going to be built?
Don't you slander the Mountain West.
Because it's Hawaii.
Don't you dare slander the Mountain West.
I do not sell Hawaii.
That's right. God, great jerseys. They are bad, though. They are not good. I do like the Mountain West. Boise State's good. Wyoming has Josh Allen.
There you go. I was waiting for
it. Jalen Royals, Utah State wide receiver. That's my favorite receiver for the Bills to go get in the second round. That's my guy.
It took you that long to mention Wyoming?
I was going to get there.
They're top of the list.
Hang on.
I was going to get
there. What's my name? Who's the guy that went to Wyoming? Come on. Think about it.
Hang on. What have you done for me lately?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wyoming.
Colorado State won a game in the NCAA tournament. Mountain West, love.
Yeah.
There we go. San Diego State did not. You made North Carolina feel something for a little bit, and for that, I will never respect you again. 803-0550, the number to call. John, we'll get to you after a quick timeout. This is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.